Today is our last installment of All Things New. And this is the most beautiful part, because we have been learning about Jesus and what Jesus has done for you and I. And in our first installment, we learned that Jesus said that he will make the whole world new. It was corrupted by sin. He comes into the world. He defeats sin on the cross. And he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make this new world where it's without corruption, without evil, without sin. Therefore, there'll be no more pestilence. And man, we can make some great pumpkin pies then. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so God's going to change the world. Then in the next message, we learn that Jesus is going to change you and I. He's going to come back on a cloud, resurrect us from the dead. He's going to unite us with our bodies. Once we go to heaven, he's going to reunite us, take us back in a cloud, and we'll be in heaven with him forever, united with God, and enjoy the beauty of the heavenlies, for one reason, as it says in the Bible, that Jesus resurrected from the dead. It is because Jesus resurrected, because he got up from the grave, that he imparted to those who believe in him resurrection power. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have resurrection power? Turn to the other side and say, I do. Now, I don't know about you, but I got resurrection power. I don't have to worry about death anymore. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't have to worry about an accident. If an accident happens, I'm in glory. I'm going to be playing checkers with Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus plays checkers, doesn't he? Yeah, or spades, one of the two. I'll play one of those. And here's what we learn. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, the Bible tells us he did certain things. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. I'm going to show you just a few of the things that he did. Number one, he said these words before he was going to die, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Resurrection power says, I have more power than what sickness and disease can have over your body. I can raise you from the grave. I can make all things new. Amen. Go to verse 54. I want us to read this together. Here's what he said also. This is Paul talking about what's going to happen. Would you read, please? Go. In other words, God's going to give us a new body. And when we get that new body, death can't touch us anymore. This is why the Bible says, and the gates of hell, the word hell there is Hades, is the word death. And even death cannot prevail against the church. Amen. We're going to get up again. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many know that God made it so that no matter how many times you've been knocked down, at the end of the day, you're going to get up again? He's awesome, and he's making all things new. Let me show you what Paul said in his response to Jesus' resurrection action. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, and I want to read this. This is amazing, amazing. It says here, but thank God. I love that. He says, you didn't even get it yet. You're not resurrected yet, but thank God. He has given us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get victory over sin and death through drugs, alcohol, people. You can't do it through any other religion. The only way you can be saved is through the name of Jesus Christ. It is through him that we obtain victory over death and sin, and we can obtain new life. It's in his name. It is amazing. So I want you, what do you do with this new life? Now that you have it, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he gives you resurrection power on the inside of each of you. Now that you have it, what do you do with it? How should you live out your life? And I want you to do this, please. I want you to go and write this takeaway down, please. This is our takeaway for today. Write this down. Because of Jesus' resurrection, I can live a life that matters. Wow. Now I'm going to break it down why that matters. Because of his resurrection, I, Steve Yates, can live a life that matters. Would you say your name out loud? Go. Can live a life that matters. Because of his resurrection. Now let's take a look at that. You know, how do I maintain my new life? How do I focus my new life? Here's what I want you to do. Write this down, please. By focusing on things that matter eternally. The way you can really walk out this new life is by focusing on things that matter eternally. Very important that we realize this, that God wants us to look not at the temporary, but the eternal things of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the same chapter, in verse 58, the very next one, I want you to hear where Paul says, as a result of this resurrection power, he gives us some instruction. Would you read it with me, please? Go. So my dear brothers and
sisters,
say that again. Be strong. In other words, you've got to have courage. You've got to face what you're facing without fear, and you need to be immovable. When trouble hits your life, do you run? When trouble comes your way, do you give up? The Bible says, I want you to do two things. I want you very simply to be strong and immovable. But here's the answer. Read the next one. Watch this. Always. Say that again with enthusiasm. Always. You remember last week I said I'm not from useless? Not from useless. Whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you, listen, whatever, E-V-A, ever, whatever you do for the Lord is not useless. When you do something for God, when you do something from the God of the universe, the one who made everything, then what you're doing doesn't just fall to the ground temporarily, it lasts eternally. And I want to encourage you, if you have a new life, that you don't just spend your time on useless things, but that you begin to say, what am I doing that will make an eternal difference? Now that God has given me new life, he's put his Holy Spirit in me, and I have resurrection power, let me now focus on doing something for the Lord that is not useless. The question becomes, do you know what that is? What are you doing in your life right now that is eternally rewarding? You know, when he says always work, the word work there means business and employment, that in which one is occupied, meaning that you are working like a job, 9 to 5, every day. You're trying to plug into your life something eternal for God, doing something for the Lord. Many of us have done many things, but we work to survive, but not necessarily for the Lord. And I want to tell you, listen, when you're given such good life and Jesus has given you such amazing promises, you need to do something that will last eternal. You need to be working for the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord is eternal and not temporal. New life comes from following him and not after useless things or temporary things. Can I use an illustration, please? Would you bear with me? Oh, no one said yes. Oh, okay. Kind of reminds you of last week. Yeah! You had to be here last week to get that. All right, now I want you to look at this rope. Can I get some help? Chris, would you just pull this out that way? Keep going. Go down the aisle if you would. Just keep going. You know, can we do it? All right, let's get the rope. How'd you get this so tangled, Chris?
I don't know.
I don't know either. All right. Here we go. Keep going. We got it. Is it working? Okay. I open it up. You got it? Uh-huh. Keep going. Yeah. All right. Just pull as far as you can. There you go. Just go as far as you can. It's okay. All right. Just go down the aisle. You got it? Just keep walking down the aisle. Yeah, look at that there. That's a nice rope. If I hit you, just forgive me. All right, we got a little tangle there. Keep going. Keep going. Why don't you go around the corner there? Okay, you got it. Keep going around the corner. Yeah, you're right. There we go. Right there. Keep going around the corner. Keep going. Come on down this aisle. You got it? Come on.
Yeah!
Keep going right down the aisle. Come on. You got it? Come on. Closer. All right. Okay. Yeah, everybody. Okay, put it down right there. That'd be good. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear with you. I want to talk about your life. When we look at life, life in terms of what Jesus says, that he's given us resurrection power, and he's given us eternal life, this is what it means. This is eternity. That rope represents eternity. This represents your life. Ladies and gentlemen, what's so weird about this is that most of our time, we spend all of our time wondering how we're going to live this part. Where what you do in this part determines this part. All the way, and so we get all caught up. We go, well, man, I gotta make sure that I save enough money so I can go on vacation right here. Or maybe if I could just save enough 401k, I can go on a trip here. Man, I gotta get my life together because you know, I gotta make sure things are right because you know I want to have a nice home right here. And yet, what we do in this small space of time determines what happens millions and millions and millions of years later. What you do in the small window of this little red line will determine what happens to you for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, some people say, well, Steve, that decision you made just looks stupid because, you know, it could cost you something in this window of time. And I say, your decision is stupid because, listen, what you're doing is going to cost you eternity. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what we do in this little area should only matter so that we can have an impact in this one. And unfortunately for many people, we look at this thing and we're reminded how we spend our time in this little red part here trying to make ourselves as comfortable as possible when really we've got one chance at this. Ladies and gentlemen, what we do in this little red spot here will affect the millions and millions of years we'll have in eternity. But I'm going to ask you this simple question. What are you doing to prepare for eternity? Are you trying to find comfort and save your life in this area here? Or are you looking to prepare your life here now for all of that? You get one chance at doing something eternal because what you do here will determine what happens here. Some will live eternally with God. And some will not. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to spend your entire life only focused on this little piece here. Amen. And forgetting that all of this matters. Well, you know, I'm not going to put up with that. Well, you put up with it here so you can live here. Well, you know, I'm not going to let them talk about me. It doesn't matter. Amen. You will outlive them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, I gotta win the lottery now. For what? Here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. I want to show you a scripture that proves this point. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And I want you to read this because we don't have a whole lot of time. I'm going to hit it and split it and get it. Get out. Verse 1, it says, since you have been raised, listen to me, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. My God, take your eyes off of this temporary place and set your eyes on the new day called heaven. Look what it says. It says, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Only what you do for Christ matters. Look at verse 2. When you're planning your retirement, remember verse 2. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. Nobody knows the day or hour your day is up. Nobody knows. You can save all you want, but it won't matter here. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to start spending your life here, preparing for there. How do you live this new life? By loving God here and preparing for there. You know, here's what I've learned a long time ago. We go after so many things that are not important until we get it, and we're right up on it, and we realize it's not what we thought it was. Anybody ever had that happen? You want something so bad, and then you get it, and you're like, eh. It ain't what I thought it was. Anybody, can I see a show of hands? Anybody? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, shame on you. Don't feel bad. I did it one time. But mine was a doozy. Can I share what happened to me?
Yes.
I was at, some of you may have heard this, but I was in college one time, and you know me, being a young man, I'm looking for Mrs. Wright. I'm Mr. Wright, so I got to find my Mrs. Wright, you know? And I'm down hanging out with a bunch of brothers, and we're down by the car, and I'm talking with them, and I look over across the parking lot, and there's this young lady that just stood there, popped out of nowhere. I swear God dropped her out of heaven. Boom! And I looked at her, and you know that music that plays when angels show up? And I'm looking, and I'm like stunned. I'm looking at her like, oh, and I'm like, and she looked, and you know that moment in time where two eyes meet and our eyes locked into each other and all the sounds stopped, the birds started singing. I saw squirrels over in the corner going, yeah. Squirrels. You got to do it. Yeah. And I'm watching, my eyes are locked in, and that girl begins to walk towards me, and I didn't even realize it, but the girl had her own theme music when she walked. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, oh, you know, your mouth got dry, my mouth is starting getting, my mouth is dry, and she's getting closer, and her eyes are locked down on Steve. And I'm like, and my hands started sweating, I started sweating. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, I'm like, oh, 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 and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be my wife. That's my wife right there. Oh, that's my wife. And you know that time when you think you found the one you want, and you start naming your kids? I said, I'm going to have 12 kids. Stephanie, Stephanias, Stephen. And I'm going through all the names, and I'm calling names, and she's walking, dun, dun, dun. And she walks up to me, and I'm shaking, and I'm like, oh, my God, here she comes. And she stands before me. I'm like, she's the epitome of perfection. Oh, my God, God gave me my wish. He gave me my dream. And here she is in all of her glory. And she stands in front of me, and she looks at me, and she opens her mouth, and she says, my name Tamika, what's your name else? Good night, everybody. See you next week. Love you. My name, Tamika. What's your name, Eel? Everything ain't always what it seems. Set your sights above and not on things of this earth. It's a red flag. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll close with one simple verse to give you the answer on how to live. And please hear me as we close. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, and then we're leaving with this verse. Verse 12 simply says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the New Living Translation, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. We're looking, but then we see everything with perfect clarity when we get to heaven. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." But here's the kicker, verse 13. "These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And of these three, the greatest of these is love." Ladies and gentlemen, faith is about having a relationship with Jesus and sharing and believing on him to help you through life. Hope is about trusting in his word, knowing that he will do what he said he would do. And love is about living out God's legacy and sharing love with another and loving on other people. Don't spend your time being selfish. Be selfless and share love. For it's the only thing that's going to make it in. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, stand to your feet if you will.